Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Celine Daly, as I say, a regular contributor to this programme, but she wants to talk unusually about herself and her journey, which started in childhood and ended up with Manjaro.
Yes.
So let's begin at the beginning, Celine.
Yes, and I'm very nervous this morning because it's a personal story to me. And again, this isn't medical advice. It's purely my personal journey with weight loss. So start at the beginning. Yes. So I'm 46 years of age. And I suppose when I was a child, I was always a hungry baby, described as a hungry baby. And, you know, I've always had a couple of pounds on. And my father would have always said, look, we're big bone people. We've got big bones. And we don't have big bones. We just have insulin resistance, possibly. So a very strong family history of diabetes.
So that would have been in your parents and your grandparents?
Both of my parents and my four grandparents all had type 2 diabetes. So we genetically have that insulin resistance or that predisposition to diabetes.
Okay, now how did it progress then as you were a teenager and then went into training to be a nurse?
So as I always say, we were organic in Mayo in the 80s through no choice of our own. Like we always ate good food at home. My mother always cooked. So it was whole foods. It was stews. It was foods that my grandmother would have ate.
No processed foods. Nothing.
Absolutely
like
none. You couldn't buy them, Pat. Sure. You couldn't afford them anyway, even if they were available. So nobody had them. We didn't eat out. We didn't get takeaways. There was no Uber Eats in the 80s in Mayo either. So once I started training as a nurse, we were so well treated as student nurses and as nurses in Sligo. We had food provided for us as part of our training and I just went to town. So we had wonderful, lots of food, well fed, and the weight started piling on. And then my journey with various diets started. So
now what persuaded you that you wanted to reduce weight? Was it, I mean, did you find the work of a nurse onerous if you're carrying a bit of weight, or were your colleagues saying to you, by the way?
Everyone's past remarkable. People are extraordinarily past remarkable, saying things like, oh, I see you're putting a few pounds, or, you know, are you going on a diet? I've been asked, am I going on a diet several times in my lifetime? And not feeling good and knowing, training and realising this is not healthy, realising that obesity is a disease that can kill. So I want to do something about it. So would have done, I've listed off to you, Pat, daft things. So diet replacements, slim fast, milkshakes, protein shakes, baby food diets, taking out whole food groups, ketogenic dieting, high protein, low protein, no carbohydrates. But I suppose slimming clubs were the first thing that I did that I felt started me on the road to disordered eating.
So what kind of slimming clubs did you join and how restricted was the diet?
So I'm talking, this has to be almost 30 years ago. The first time I stood in a slimming club with a friend, of course, dragged a friend along with me, was weighed. So you're weighed in. I suppose you've never been, Pat, but it's a public, you know, it's a community gathering. You're weighed in on the scales, your weight is written down, and then you do some kind of group work together to help each other to lose weight. Now, they vary. And again, I haven't been for a few years now, so I'm not up to speed. But to give you the shortened version, you tend to either have points or a number of points you can have during the day. And then you can have, in some swimming clubs, they call them sins, for example. So you could have maybe 10 to 15 sins in the day. Now, I don't know if it's been bought up RC, but that whole concept of, you know, eating sins or the food is a sin, and then there's free food. So Pat, if you tell somebody like me who has got disordered eating, who's a hungry person, that there's free food, that you can eat any amount of this food, the free food would include things like all the fruits, vegetables, pasta, rice, potatoes, you know, you would be
which
cold pasta.
Some of them have calories.
Absolutely. I mean,
everything has calories. Everything has some calories.
Yes.
But imagine if you were eating cabbage all day.
Yes, how miserable you are. And I've done the cabbage soup diet as well.
Oh, you've done that, have you?
I have absolutely done that. If you name it, I've done it. But particularly the whole thing with the points and the weighing and the, not so much the weighing, but the calculating. So you've heard, Pat, people talk about food noise, especially when we talk about GLP-1 medication. Yeah. So this whole new, it's not a new concept. I thought I was the only person that had this. So when I woke up in the morning, I'd be thinking, God, what am I going to eat this morning? Am I going to have breakfast? What for lunch? What for dinner? You know, I'd constantly be thinking about food. Once I joined swimming clubs, and I joined them up to 50 times, I rejoined swimming clubs, trying to get on top of this thing called eat food and eating. That voice was amplified by 6 times.
Did it ever work?
No. Sorry, excuse me. It did work for the first couple of weeks.
The short term. Short term,
yeah. I would lose weight. Sometimes I'd lose up to maybe a stone
in
weight.
And what was the motivation? Was it like the humiliation if I don't lose a couple of pounds this week when I'm about to be weighed in?
Or the fear factor. They call it the step of doom. The step of doom. So when you're getting on that scales, if you're weighed in on a Friday, it's Wednesday, you haven't been great for the weekend, you've had some dinner and some drinks and you're thinking, oh my God, that started me on the road of I'm going to starve myself now for a couple of days and then I'll be okay on the scales. And then I would literally, once I stepped off the scales, I would head to the nearest shop because I would be stuck.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
Starving with the hunger.
Okay, so you're a bit like a jockey who loses weight to make the weight for the horse race. And as soon as they finish, they go and have a steak.
Absolutely.
And then some.
And that is disordered. That's what we call disordered eating. There's a great psychologist in the UK called Dr. Sharu Izadi. She actually got a new book out. It's called Why Diets Don't Work. And she has a fantastic book, if anyone's interested, called The Diet Liar, The Diet Fib, something like that. Dr. Sharu Izadi, she is magnificent. And she actually talks about the science of why these things create disordered eating in people. People like me, especially people with disordered eating.
Now, did you ever end up bulimic or anorexic in any way?
I did in my 30s. So eventually, after all this dieting and falling on off the wagon and then changes in my life, a divorce, and then I had some surgery. And then I could see, again, because I had surgery, brought on an earlier menopause in me. So I started seeing that weight going on. And then we know now as well that hormonal changes, like if you have PCOS as a younger person or perimenopause, menopause, that changes the way you distribute fat. It changes your metabolism as well. So I could see the weight was going on. And I can't remember exactly making a decision to do this. It just started. But I do feel all that nonsense I was doing for years really created that space where I felt this is the only option that I had.
Now, when the WHO decided to declare obesity as a chronic condition, it's a disease.
It's a disease. It's a chronic disease that's multifactorial. And that's really important. And I know people listen and say, oh, please, if you just eat less and move more. No, obesity is disease after many, many years of research and science. And I know like our own Dawn Lochey is a magnificent doctor and has promoted, you know, the fact that obesity is a disease. So again, what are the factors? There's one factor we can control, that's lifestyle. So you can control what you eat. Yes, you can do your exercise. You can get your sleep in. You can control that. Can you change your genes? I can't change my big bone genes. I can't change that. My diabetes, my pre-diabetes or whatever it is. The other thing is I'm not getting any younger. So when we get older, we do change. Metabolism changes and we distribute fat differently. The other thing that changes as well is it's the PCOS, it's the perimenopause and the menopause. And we're finally having a conversation. You know, Pat, we said in Ireland years ago, there was nobody fat. You didn't see fat people in the 70s. But certainly, remember older women. I know they used to have a lot of cardigans on them and all those bits and pieces. But certainly, older women, even in the 70s and 80s, put on fat without the ultra-processed food. So there is something about that menopausal state that makes a difference. But now we're going to live more in the menopausal state than we did years ago. My great-grandmother was probably only 10 or 15 years in the menopausal state. My daughter was born 2006. She lived till she's 100, it's predicted. And she might be 50 years in the menopausal state. So finally, we're having these conversations about women's health postmenopausally and what we need to change and do differently.
Now, we don't want to discourage people from eating less and moving more.
I mean, yes, that is a choice. That's in your choice.
It's a choice. You can control that.
Absolutely.
So that'll do you. Well, movement generally is good for you.
It's essential. So again, if we're talking about women and we're talking about postmenopausal women, we need to lift weights, we need to be strong, we need to build muscle. That's super important.
And the idea of having 3 donuts with your coffee at 11 o'clock in the morning, we can say that's not good.
It's
no
not
matter who
good.
You are or what your bones are like.
It's not good. And it's important to be kind as well. So when you are on this journey, when you see somebody who might have an issue with their weight, believe me, they're working hard. They're not happy with this either and they're trying their best. So it's really important to support people on that journey. But there's so much ultra-processed food at your fingertips now, Pat.
Yeah.
You can get something delivered to your door in 2 seconds, you know. So that makes a big difference to people as well. But exercise and correct eating is right,
now,
and the mindset.
Tell me about discovering Monjaro and why you went on it.
Yes. So my lovely husband, Liam, is a pilot. So he went to his aeronautical doctor who recommended Mounjaro for him to bring down his weight. And I thought, you know what? I've tried all this. I started keeping a journal, started, you know, looking at my thoughts and how I think about food. And I thought, you know, if you're going on this, I'm going to go on it too. So we went to our own doctor at home. And that is super important. If you were thinking this, considering this, do not go online and buy this medication. It's illegal. It's not safe. Do not do it. You need to be supported through this journey. This is not straight. It's not a straight line.
Now, you're brought on it initially. It's kind of almost a test to make sure you don't have a radical reaction to
it. Exactly.
So what happened when you had your first dose?
My first dose, now again, I was journaling this whole experience. I took it before I went to bed at night time, woke up next day and I felt more balanced. Now, this could be all in my head, I realise that. But certainly I felt, when I considered it and thought about it, I felt like I was stabilising my blood sugar. I definitely felt there was some stabilisation there. I wasn't hungry straight away.
And what about that noise? The food noise?
Gone.
Like, what am I going to have for breakfast? Yeah. I'm looking forward to lunch. Gone. And maybe what am I going to do for dinner?
And Pat, the relief of that. I can't tell you. When you are, not just food noise, when you're calculating points and sins and you're figuring things out and take away this and put on that and if I don't eat that, it is like a constant annoying toddler in your head all the time. That's the way I can describe it. An annoying toddler tapping you on the shoulder all the time looking
food,
for
food,
attention.
Food,
and what, and you're so stupid and why are you doing this and, you know, you haven't done that. You know, you've messed it up again this week. Why can't you do this?
And even when you took exercise, you used to be counting your steps and...
Oh my God. The really big discovery was about week 7 or 8. I was talking to my daughter about her Apple Watch and she doesn't wear it. And I was thinking, God, that costs a lot of money. You know, and she said, Mum, I really don't like the feeling of my steps being counted. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Now she's my daughter, so obviously I've passed something on to her. And I thought, God, Grace, I had 3 smartwatches, Pat. I actually had a belt that counted my heart rate when I was doing exercise, as if I was going to, you know, pay out for the senior county team. You know, no need for any of that.
Kind of thing that top class athletes use in the gym to get their heart rate up to a certain level and so on and so forth.
Not Celine Daly. So what I do now is I just actually put them all in the box, don't use them anymore, and I find the relief of not counting those steps to be huge for me. Again, this is a personal journey for me, but I find that really helps me. I do a trampolining class, so it's a rebound class, and again it means you jump up and down the trampoline, which is brilliant for your bone health and your coordination and your muscles, really importantly, but also I lift weights. You have to lift weights as a lady. Okay.
How long have you been on Mounjaro?
Since June.
Okay.
The first.
And how have you done?
Almost 4 stone. I'm still imperial measurement. I don't do the kgs. Almost 4 stone down. I had spent a couple of years working from home and, you know, was sitting at home. And again, that food noise was really amplified sitting at home all day long. Yeah. So just really piled on a huge amount of weight after I got married in 2022 and just piled on an extraordinary amount of weight. And you can pile it on. And once you've ever been living in a bigger body, and again, Donal O'Shea would say this, you will tend to go back up to that weight. Your body will still want you to get back to that weight.
But are you
again.
Obsessed? I mean, do you hop on the scales every day to check how you're doing?
All those numbers are gone. I had 3 scales at home, Pat. I had 3 weighing scales at home. Why? And again, these weren't normal weighing scales. They could tell you what time it was on the moon. You know, ridiculous stuff.
Now, did you have any feeling of maybe bereavement for the foods that you no longer enjoy?
I didn't have bereavement of foods I don't enjoy. I certainly around week 6, I remember coming home and feeling a bit flat, kind of a flat feeling. I'm wondering what is going on here with this. And I remember sitting down again because I'm journaling, I'm life coaching. I sat down and said, okay, just have a think about this. What's going on for you, Celine? And really, what I found was I had a particular, you know, it was a bit of a bad day, just normal life stuff. And I wasn't able to go buy the whole load of junk in the shop. Remember, you know, you can't binge on a Caesar salad. It doesn't make you feel good. You know, you need to binge on something carby, something really bad. So I didn't have the ability to go buying all that junk and sitting there eating it and numbing out. Because when you do that, when you eat a pile of junk and you're in front of Netflix and you're numbing out, your brain switches off. So I couldn't do that. I no longer had the capability. So I had to sit with those feelings and actually figure it out for myself. You know, after doing all this work and now I'm at my 40s. So again, you know, this is why you need to go to your GP for this prescription. You cannot go on a single journey doing this by yourself because, you know, it may uncover feelings. Certainly women my age that grew up in the 90s, Pat, we're looking at Kate Moss, skinny, you know, crazy diet culture, all that stuff. And that all needs to be unwound. And I'm still unwinding it. It's still a journey. So it's going to take me a while.
Well, you're an inspiration, I'd say, to many people listening. But the point is, go to your GP. That's
Please.
Who should be in charge.
And if you listen, and this is a hard time for people
with
a weight
issue.
Not Dr. Google. Christmas is a terrible time for people who have a weight issue, Pat. There's sweets and biscuits and everything everywhere. And again, your mind, that little toddler is inside your mind all the time. Please be kind to yourself. Please enjoy your Christmas. But please do what I did. Write everything down on a piece of paper, journal a little bit. Make an appointment with a GP and go and have a conversation with the specialist who's qualified to actually advise you on this.
Celine Daly, thank you very much for sharing with us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.